There are builders in our church. We have contractors that are members of our church. We have business owners who are building a business in our church. We have parents building a family in our church. When you build, you have a blueprint, right? You have a master plan for building. You have a business plan if you're trying to build a business or raising a family. You have goals as a family, raising your family. You talk about that as a couple, what you want your family to look like and what you're going to do as a married couple raising a family. And God is invested in us. God is helping us with our blueprints, if you will. God is a part of our construction crew, and not only is He, but He wants to be, if we will allow Him to. Today in our passage, we're going to start out in Psalm 127, and it begins by saying, "Unless the Lord builds the house." Unless the Lord builds the house. What are you building? What are you developing? What are you growing? What are you building today? God wants to help you with His blueprints. God wants to allow you to allow Him to be on the construction team, leading the construction team even. Is your building built by God? Let's look again at Psalm 127, verse 1 through verse 2 to start out with. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. It is believed, it says, if your Bible has that little section at the top there, it says, a Song of Ascents of Solomon. It is believed by most biblical scholars that this was written by King David to his son Solomon. So it's a message for his son, a song written to his son. And of course, Solomon was building. He was building a kingdom. He was becoming king of that nation. He was building a family. Solomon was a leader, and he understood what it meant to build. And so David wrote this for him. And it's pointless. This passage, the scripture says it's pointless to build without God's help. It's meaningless. It's vain. It's pointless to work on a construction, to build a business, to do any of this. It's pointless to build without God's help. It's pointless, this passage says, to wear yourself out in order to fall asleep. I find that really interesting. It talks about that. Rising up early, staying up late, working hard. That's the idea that's there. Why? So you can wear yourself out so you can sleep. And he says it's pointless because God wants to bless you unless you're allowing God to bless you with that sleep. Now the idea there, it's not pointless to sleep. But the idea there is that it's vain, it's pointless to do anything unless we allow God to be a part of it. Building the house, the writer is referring in context, if you see the rest of the chapter there, and we'll look at the rest of it here in a little bit, he's talking about the context of family. He goes on to talk about children and building a family. The following verses referring to those children. We must be raising our families with Christ at the center. We must be raising with Christ at the very glue of what it means to be a family. Holding our families together, Christ at the center of those households. Raising families. I talked last week about children, and so a little bit of this carries over, talking about the idea of family. We need to raise our families with God and with Christ at the center of that family. We need to be spending time together in Scripture, as a family. We need to be praying together as a family. And I believe that's not just true of our biological family, but it's true of us as a church, praying together as a church family, crying together as a church family, Jesus at the center of that church family. Yet you cannot ignore the truth of what is being written here. God wants to be center stage, not just of your family, but he's talking about all of our work, all of our endeavors. Whether we're sleeping or whether we are building a house, anything that we're doing, God wants to be center stage of that endeavor. God wants the glory. God wants the spotlight on him in everything that we do. And this includes sleeping. It includes eating. It includes clothing. It includes shopping. Anything that we could do, God wants the center stage. He wants the spotlight. I'm not sure how to tell you to do that when it comes to shopping and clothing and all of that, but God wants the center stage of any endeavor that we try to accomplish. Just think right now what you're working on. What is it that you are building? Are you building a business? Are you building a home? Maybe you're literally building a home for yourself and for your family. Are you building a family? Are you raising children, building that family as best as you can? Are you building a car? Maybe you have a car in the garage you're working on that car. Are you building an education? God wants to be center stage in your life and what you're doing. Are you building an education? And are you building a career? Is God center stage in your life? Whatever it is that you are building, whatever it is you are working on in your life, is God the center of that? Is he center stage? Does he have the spotlight in your life? The real focus here is on God. God wants the spotlight. God wants the center stage. God created the world for us. He created everything that's around us. God created the plan of salvation through which, through Jesus, we have salvation. God created that plan for us. God is making a future eternal home for us. God wants us to be his people, and he wants to be our God. God is center stage of all of this. God is the focus here. God wants us to have faith, and not faith in ourselves, but faith in him. God takes the spotlight. God takes the focus. What is important here? Is God involved in your life? Is God involved in your projects? Unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. Is God involved in your life and in your projects this morning? Is he involved today? It begins with revelation. And no, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation, but I'm talking about getting an insight on the importance of God in your life, and that revelation of how important God is to you and in your life. Second, it's allowing God to lead your life, not just having that insight of how important he is, but then handing over. I just had a song pop in my mind. I didn't have it in my notes, but you know that Carrie Underwood song, Jesus Take the Wheel. It's the idea of allowing God to take lead in your life. And once you let him take lead, it means praying diligently for God's direction and for God to bless your efforts. So you get that vision, that revelation of how important God is. You let him take leadership in your life. And of course, that means praying for his direction, praying for his will in your life, being willing to listen. And of course, fourth, being willing to say no is something compromises your dedication to God. Well, that's a hard one, isn't it? So many things that can get in the way and take center stage in our life. But no, God wants that center stage. God wants the important place in your life. And it begins with getting that revelation of how important he is to you. A recent and radical example of this, getting that insight of how important allowing God to lead in our lives and allowing God to speak to us, his direction in our lives, allowing for God to make the blueprints and be on the construction team. A recent example that I want to tell you about, of course, is the Orr family. I don't know if you know the Orr family, Aaron Orr and his wife. I asked him if I could share this. He said it'll be fine. But him and his wife attend one of our sister churches, if you don't know who they are. They recently felt like God was leading them to start a coffee company. And so they jumped right into it. They listened to God and they prayed about it and they dove right into it and started, they call it Commissional Coffee, which is just absolutely amazing to me. I mean, some of the prophets, not all the prophets, but a good majority of the prophets go towards missions, and especially that goes towards General Conference missions, and that's one of the reasons why we've chose to start supporting them, and we buy our coffee from them now. because we believe in supporting missions and believe in what they're trying to do. But that's an example, I believe, of getting that revelation. It's a radical example. Maybe not what God's calling you to do, and God's not calling you to start a coffee company necessarily, but it's a radical example of getting that revelation of how important God is and allowing for Him to lead in your life. And yet, it takes work. In the second chapter, in chapter 128 there, the following chapter, we're going to look at that a little bit throughout the message today. But in verse 2, it says, "When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you." The idea there is that we do eat the labor of our hands. We work hard. Just because God gives you an idea, gives you that revelation, maybe of what He wants you to do, He gives you those blueprints, it doesn't mean it stops there. There is hard work to be done. God involvement means there's work. What does God bless? He blesses your labor. He blesses your work. He gives you the strength. He gives you the favor as you work in your company. I mean, He says in the book of Proverbs, He says, "Look at the ant, you sluggard." An example that He shares with us. "Look at the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." Why? Because the ant works hard. The ant works diligently. Just because God gives us that revelation of what He wants us to do does not mean it stops there. We work hard. God teaches us to work hard. Nothing gets accomplished without putting that effort into it. Unless you put the effort into it, what is there for God to bless? And so God shows us that it's good to work hard, to put the effort into it. But in addition to hard work, it does take prayer. And it takes faith, and it takes commitment, it takes trusting in God. God gives you that revelation of where He wants you to be in your life, what He wants you to be doing, and you begin to work hard, but it takes that faith, trusting in God, believing that He's going to be blessing you along the way. Friends, God is our builder. Every building needs a solid foundation, and God wants to be that foundation. Is your building built on God? Is your building built on God? Jumping over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. You'll recognize this story. It's a popular one. And Jesus is teaching to the crowd, and so He says here in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." We all know this particular story really well. It's one that they've taught you in Sabbath school. All your life you've heard this particular story. They would even sing songs about the wise man that built his house upon the rock. The second man there, of course, in this, Jesus is giving us wisdom in His teachings. He's teaching the crowd. He's saying, if you hear My teachings, you are wise. We are wise to follow His teachings there. And a part of this, He points to that second man. The second man that Jesus mentioned was the one who built on the sand. The one who built on the sand. The one who built on the sand represents something that's unstable. It's shifting. It's not concrete. It's not solid. There's no foundation. There's no rooting. It is a shifting sand. And life gets stressful. Life gets complicated and tough. And when things like that happen, it can feel like life is shifting, that it's not solid to stand on. You know, in fact, what do women look for in a man they're about to marry? Stability is often what they look for in a man they're about to marry. We want stability. We want life to be firm and solid, not to be shifting and changing all the time. I watched a YouTube video where people get stuck in quicksand. I watched several of these videos. I find them really interesting because these people, for whatever reason, whatever gets into their mind, they want to go jump in this quicksand and try to get stuck in the quicksand. Quicksand is dangerous. People can get sucked into that and lose their life because quicksand can just... It's dangerous. And not necessarily because they fall all the way into it and drown in it. That's not how quicksand really works. It's that they get stuck and they can't get out and they're crying for help and nobody can hear them. So quicksand is a mess. But these people, you watch them on these videos and they just purposefully, they'll get in there and they'll shift until they get down to that quicksand. What is quicksand? Quicksand is this unstable sand that's wet. And because it's so wet, it's unstable. It's loose wet that yields easily to pressure. And because of that, you can get stuck in it, or something falls on it, can get stuck into it. We don't want life to be like that. The point is, we don't want life to be like that quicksand. We don't want to go through life never knowing if it's going to be stable or not. We want life to be stable. We don't want life to be constantly changing. Change is stressful. If our job changes all the time, that's stressful. Not knowing one day to the next if you're going to have work, that's stressful. Our health changes, that's stressful. It's a stress on us. We don't like not knowing if we're going to be healthy today versus healthy tomorrow. That's stressful. If our family dynamic changes, that's stressful. It's hard not knowing if you're going to have a happy family today or a happy family tomorrow, not knowing that. That can stress you out. So you cannot put your faith, you cannot put your hope and trust in these things. We need a firm foundation. There's no foundation in things that are shifting and changing all the time. You know, the morals of the entertainment world are some of the most shifting and changing things I see out there. We look at the morals and they suck you in. You watch a couple of TV episodes and boy, that was good. The actors were good and the content was good. And the next thing you know, the morals of that TV show suddenly shift. I've seen it time and time again, where suddenly they start introducing themes into the show where you're like, why do they have to put that in there? Same thing's true of the music industry. They get you sucked in. You hear a really good song or good artist, and you just, boy, that's awesome. And then next thing you know, the morals of that artist change, and they're doing things that are inappropriate. It shifts like crazy in the entertainment world. The first man that Jesus called to, and he talked about that shifting sand, the first man that he was talking to is the one that was called wise. He was the one that built on the rock. The rock is a solid foundation. It's unchanging, unyielding. It is strong. It's not going anywhere. It is faithful. The rock is faithful. Aside from the Sabbath school answer, where we talk about what the rock is, what else is a rock in our life? Well, of course, the Holy Word of God. The Holy Word of God is a rock in our life, a major source of strength and life for us. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. What does that mean? That we are standing, our faith and our trust in God is based on this book. We stand alone on the Word of God. This is our solid foundation for life. This is what we base our life off of. Not the shifting sands, but the solid rock. We know that God is faithful, and He's given us His faithful Word to us. And of course, there is the Sabbath school answer that we all know and love. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the solid rock on which we stand. It's the one you learn in Sabbath school all those years. And we stand on Him. How do we stand on the solid rock of Jesus? We stand on Him by believing in Him, believing that He came and died and rose again for us, that we can have eternal life. We stand on the solid rock of Jesus by trusting in Him as our source of salvation, by looking to Him as being faithful in our lives. He is the solid rock on which we stand. We stand on Him because He's proved Himself faithful to us again and again and again in our lives. God is faithful, and we stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and on the Word of God. And the rains come, and the floods come, and the winds blow. The storms come through and blow and smash against your hopes and your dreams. And it's at that time that we find out what we are truly made of. What's truly in our character. When those winds and waves smash against us, we find out what's really in us, what we're really made of, and what our faith is really based upon. If you've been building with things that feel good, they will fall. When those storms blow through and smash against you, if you've been building by cutting corners without integrity, it will fall. If you've been building without the right blueprints, and the storms come blowing through, smashing against your hopes and dreams, it will fall. When my wife and I were looking at buying homes years and years ago, when we were looking at buying a home, I found some beautiful locations, some beautiful spots where there was these houses, and the price was, it looked like the price was right. And so I went to the realtor at the time, and I said, "I can we look at this home? Can we put a bid on this home?" And the realtor again and again would say, "No, you cannot." And his reason was this. The insurance was going to be way too high, and the loan company wouldn't allow us to pay for it because these homes were in a flood zone. It was beautiful, and the location was just right, and the price seemed perfect, but because it was in a flood zone, there's that risk that the floods are going to come through and are going to wash that house away or damage the home and damage the property, so they wouldn't let us purchase the home. We couldn't go and put a bid on those homes at all, even if I wanted to. You never know when the trouble's coming. You never know when the floods are coming through and going to hit against your hopes and your dreams and what you're trying to build, what you're trying to accomplish. You never know when it's coming. We need that sturdy, solid foundation. Instead, we need our families to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, on that sturdy, solid foundation of Jesus. We need the foundation of God to keep us stable, even in the midst of the storm. Even when the winds are crashing against us and the floods are rising against us, we need that sturdy, solid foundation of Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word to be in our lives, in our families, in everything that we do. God is our builder. God is our foundation. If we have both of those things, then guess what? God wants to bless it. Is your building blessed by God? Look again at Psalm 127, where we started out at. Psalm 127, verse 3, says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They will not be ashamed. They will speak with their enemies in the gates." This gives emphasis to the family, gives emphasis on the children. Blessed is one who has these children. The children are like arrows. That's an interesting picture there. But the idea is one who has these children is like an archer who can pull out. The more arrows he has, the better chance he has of hitting that target. And of course, if he's a good archer, he'll hit it on the first try. But here we have, children are such a blessing in our lives. He talks about the man at the gate, the idea there. Of course, there's two ideas. One is if the gate is a judicial gate, you have people representing you. These children in your lives are your testimonies representing you. If the gate is this idea of the enemy coming in, then the idea is you have people helping to support and defend you. Either way, children are a blessing in our lives. The focus here is on the family. Children are a gift to humanity. They're a gift from God. God gave us children as a gift. Why? Because that way we're not lonely. That's one reason. So that we're not afraid of the dark because we're not alone. That could be another reason. That we're not worried about the future because we have people to take care of us when we get old. That could be another reason. Because we're not worried about our legacy. We have people we can pass that on to. That could be another reason. Children are such a blessing They are a gift of God to us as families. Yet children are just one example. They're just one example of God's touch in our lives. While the passage here talks about the children, it's talking about what God is building. Solomon was blessed. Solomon was touched by God. He was blessed with wisdom. He was blessed with riches, finances. He was blessed and blessed beyond and beyond. When we build on the rock, God's hand can be seen in our personal lives with peace and joy. God's hand is on us when we build on the rock. He blesses us. It can be seen in our work lives. We have favor with our employer. We have favor with our co-workers. God blesses when we build on the rock. When we build on the rock, it can be seen in our ministries, in our ability to bless others as God blesses us when we build on the rock. Speaking of blessed, my Bible says, happy is the man. Who wants to be happy? All of us. We all want to be happy. Happy is the man. Here is the path to happiness that comes from building on the rock. When we build on God, that is the path to happiness. Again, in chapter 128, just the next chapter over, in verse 1, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in the ways. Blessed. In other words, happy. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord. Those that fear the Lord are those that allow God to be the builder. Those that fear the Lord are those that build on the rock. Build on the rock of God's Word and build on the rock of Jesus Christ in their life. Those that fear the Lord walk, your Bible says, walk in His ways. Those that fear the Lord are those that are happy and blessed. How does God bless what you are building? God helps to meet your need. When you are working on a project, one of the greatest concerns of working on that building project is making sure you have the supplies that you need to work on that building project. If equipment breaks down, you wonder, do we have sufficient funds to be able to replace that equipment, to fix that equipment? And God, similarly, raising a family comes with its own concerns of being able to pay bills, being able to supply for your family, being able to afford to put them through school and be able to clothe them. No matter what age you are or what you are doing, we have these concerns about our needs, making sure our needs are met. And God shows us by His Word that He supplies our need. That is a huge blessing to those that are going through the storms, that are dealing with the winds and the waves crashing in. Knowing that God is taking care of them is a huge blessing. I pray boldly that God meets yours and my need. A little over a year ago, Calvin Burrell, who was at the time the Bible Advocate editor, they were switching over, and Jason Overman was taking over editing the Bible Advocate. Calvin Burrell at the time handed out all these books. It was at a ministerial council meeting. He handed out all these books called Draw the Circle by Mark Patterson. And I read through this book, and a lot of our ministers have as well, and it's a very challenging book when it comes to our prayer lives, how we pray, and it's a very challenging book towards prayer. And Mark Patterson wrote this: God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. I'll read that quote one more time. God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. Why? Because God wants to be big. He's an infinite God, an everlasting God, and He wants to be big in our lives as we begin to look to Him and trust in Him. God goes on and blesses not only our needs, but blesses your fruitfulness. Again, in chapter 128, looking at verse 3, he talks about this fruitfulness. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In your very heart of your house, your children, like olive plants, all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. In this passage, God blesses your wife to be fruitful. He blesses your children to be fruitful. He blesses those that fear the Lord to be fruitful, making you fruitful. Those that allow God to be the builder and build on the solid rock, those are the ones God makes fruitful, the ones that fear God. Suddenly your business starts to bring in, your company starts to bring in new business. Suddenly you start seeing positive changes in your children at home that you've been wanting to see. Suddenly your grades start to improve in school that you were trying to get up and were having a hard time studying. Suddenly God starts to make you fruitful in your life. Why? Because you built on the rock, because you made him the builder, because you feared the Lord. It's not enough that we receive those blessings, but we want those blessings to last. We don't just want them to be temporary blessings. We want them to be long-term, lasting blessings. And look again at chapter 128. Look at verses 5 through 6 there. He says, "The Lord bless you out of Zion, that you may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon you." God is ready and willing to bless you all the days of your life and well into several generations. Some of you here today have already seen some of that heritage. Your families, your children, your grandchildren being blessed by God. Those that build on the rock and allow God to be the builder, God is ready to create a firm foundation, not just for you, but for your children and for your children's children all the days of your life. Boy, if you can't say amen to that, that's awesome. The hymnist wrote once, one of our hymnists in our hymnal wrote this. He says, I want that kind of blessing that saves and keeps and satisfies the soul. I want that full salvation to billows of heaven o'er me roll. Repeat this after me. Built by God. Built on God. Blessed by God. Amen.